I'm curious, do you have a really great BS detector? Maybe you're often skeptical of others. Are you really street smart? Would you say you're pretty self-assured? You often find yourself being the leader in the group. Maybe you even struggle to ask for help. Do you love a good challenge? Do you fight really hard for the causes you believe in? Do you have a great sense of humor? I bet you're a blast. You might have thought that these were all parts of your personality, but they might actually be coping mechanisms you've picked up over the course of your life, and they're having a huge impact on how you show up, especially on this motherhood journey. Are you curious to know more? You got to take my personality patterns quiz. Here's what's going on. When you were a child, whenever an experience overwhelmed your nervous system, you subconsciously built a defense against that overwhelm. Over time, those defenses became a habit, and then they became a pattern. And now as an adult, what we think of as our personality is often this defense pattern running the show. It's so interesting, right? There are 5 different personality patterns, and they're not personality types like the Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs, but rather they describe the safety strategies that we immediately go to when we start to feel overwhelmed. They don't describe who we are so much as what's blocking who we are. The good news is that once you take my quiz and learn about your pattern, you can learn skills to break out of that pattern, and then you can live and parent your kids as your true and authentic self. Click on the quiz link in the show notes or go to michellegrosser.com/quiz now to take my 2-minute personality pattern quiz. Welcome to the Calm Mom Podcast, the show for ambitious women ready to get off the hot mess express. I know you've got a lot going on. You work so hard. You're raising an incredible family. And sometimes it can be overwhelming. I'm your host, Michelle Grosser. I'm a certified master life coach, attorney, wife, and mom. And years ago, I was right where you are. I was running a busy law practice while raising a family, and I was on the fast track to burnout. I thought I just needed to be more organized or have better routines, but it was learning how to heal and regulate my nervous system that expanded my capacity to gracefully hold more of this big, beautiful life. You too are worthy of an extraordinary life in and beyond motherhood. Learning to be a calm, anchoring presence in your home and at work is going to be your superpower. If you're here to do the inner work that brings a sense of calm amidst the chaos, I'm here to join you on that journey. Each time you press play, your growth continues. So let's get at it. Hey, hey, you guys, Michelle Grosser here. Welcome to the Calm Mom Podcast. On this episode, today we have Lauren Ruth Martin with us, and she's here to help us talk to all of you overthinkers and all of you overachievers, really take a look at how we show up so we can move beyond burnout, we can move into a life of fulfillment and creativity and spontaneity and so many of those awesome things that can be really hard for those of us, I'll include myself in there, who tend to have patterns of overthinking and overachieving. She knows burnout firsthand. Lauren was a competitive gymnast. She was most involved in her high school superlatives. And she really just hustled her way through her career, like so many of us, until her nervous system basically said no more, right? And she went through the journey of repairing from her own burnout and recovering from that and realizing that so many other people were also in that recovery. And how can we make burnout recovery part of just like an incorporated daily life instead of this crisis that we have to manage when it kind of blows out of control, right? So she's really teaching us how to make concepts like self-care and self-compassion second nature, part of who we are and how we show up, especially in psychology-backed techniques so that we can show up differently, right? So I think this episode is going to be so helpful. We talk about practical tips and tricks that help develop a burnout management plan that's doable and helpful. So enjoy this conversation with Lauren Ruth Martin. Lauren, welcome to the Calm Mom Podcast. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to chat.
Awesome. So before we jump in, we're going to talk about burnout. You guys, she just released a new planner. We're going to talk about it. But before we get into all of that, just let everyone know who you are, what you're doing. And I would also love to hear a little bit about your journey that brought you to this work that you're doing today too.
I mean, there's so much, and I don't know why whenever this question's asked, it's like everything comes to my brain at once. And so there's the first thing, like I am neurodivergent. And that was like the underpinning of everything that I didn't know was present until my like late 20s. So I'm a late diagnosed ADHDer. And what led me to this work was just a lifelong cycle of doing the most and then crashing and not understanding like what true, I hate the word balance, but like sustainability meant. Like this started at age 5. Like I was a competitive gymnast, like from 5 to 11. I remember watching the Olympics like in 2021 and being like, no wonder I was a wreck. Like you like misplaced your toe and they're like, oh, that could have cost the medal. Like, so that was ingrained in me at a very early age. And I just sort of carried that with me, like through high school and college and career. And I just realized that there's a lot of people that are doing a lot because they love to and they want to.
Yeah.
And because they're capable, but a lot of people really don't share or talk about the downside of things. I think now there's more language around it, but gratitude was always just like pushed upon me in like high school and college. Like you should be grateful that you're getting these opportunities and everything, but it's like, but I don't like, why do I want to cry every day?
Yeah.
And so like that idea of people that there's real shame in perfectionism. Like there's so much shame, not only with like what's hidden, but there's also a lot of like loneliness when you are doing the things, because you're the go-to friend, you're the organizer, you're all the things. And so how do we bring the humanity like back into our lives, like where we do want to be successful, but in a sustainable way?
Yeah. That sustainability is such a big part of it, and understanding seasons. And like, I used to go so hard also. And then one day I decided I'm like, no more marathons. Like I'll go hard for seasons and it'll be a sprint, but like, I'm not just going to go this hard for like indefinitely. It's like not. So I would love to hear, I'm just curious for you, did you have this kind of awakening where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm burnt out, or like something's got to change? Or is that something that you feel like was always kind of there in your awareness and you were just kind of grappling with it?
It is always in my awareness. And I tell a lot of people, especially if they are neurodivergent, like we always focus on the problem, like, oh, well, you can't focus or anything like that. But what it really is like for a lot of us, especially like women, we recognize, like we see that the way we're overcompensating is the problem.
Mm.
So like if you were to follow me around, you would not think that I am, like that I have ADHD, because everything is a list, but they're like compulsively written lists. And if I don't have it this way, then nothing will happen. And so it's that idea of, I've always had this struggle in me because I always wanted to do the most. And I didn't know how to throttle back. I only knew how to stop.
Wow. That makes so much sense. And I think a lot of times, like you talk about having been living like this since you were 5. Like for so many of us, we're just like, oh, that's just how I am, right? We just chalk it up to like, oh, that's my personality. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, here's the thing. It might be like our wiring plays a part in everything, and like how we've been raised and all of that. So it can be a part of you. But what does it look like when we don't have that a part of us? And that, like over the past few years, that's been my biggest struggle, not in the saying no, but in the what the no means. Like I stopped taking individual therapy clients recently, and it's like, oh wait, it's not just like no for a season. It's like, I don't know when I'm going to be able to see individual clients again. And does that even mean that it's an identity thing? Like, does that mean I'm a therapist anymore? I'm still doing therapy, just not with new people.
Yeah.
And so like the identity that comes into play of like, my kid is now, you know, in kindergarten. And so is it easier? Like, what am I doing wrong? So I think that's the thing of, yes, it very much is like a part of us, but how much of that are we reinforcing or taking on within us?
Yeah, absolutely. And if we don't get curious about it, then we can't really ever figure out or separate it from ourselves, right? Then we're just like stuck being that way because it's so much easier to be resigned to like, that's just how I am. And then we lose all our power.
It's so much easier. It's like, okay, this is just me. It's like forced acceptance. Like, this is who I am. This is what I need to deal with. When it's like, some of it, yes, we do have to accept, but there's also things that we maybe haven't tried. And that's a thing too that I talk a lot about is like, what are all the options? We're always trying to find the next best option, but like, we'll figure that out. We need to see what is possible across the board. Mm. So like with my clients, like, you know, scaling back, I was like, okay, I need to keep seeing, I need to just change how I do my practice. Well, that's one of many possibilities. Yeah. You know, why can't I just pause for 6 to 10 months and see how I feel after that?
Yeah. Yeah. There's other options out there if we're open to them.
Yeah.
to exploring. You mentioned perfectionism and burnout, and I would love to hear a little bit about the connection between the two, because I'm not sure that's something that occurs to a lot of us. Like, we're like, yeah, I'm a high achiever, or I have all my to-do list, or I'm a perfectionist. I do things well. But how is that tied, or how can that drive us into burnout?
We're sprinting all the time. Yeah. I mean, I think we all have like one perception of what a perfectionist looks like.
Okay. Talk to me about that.
We think about like, at least I'm in the South, right? So I think about like Stepford wife have like the perfect platter, like their hair is never bad. They're, you know, just like almost Barbie-esque.
Yep.
But that's one dimension of perfection, or like your house being completely neat or put together is often equated with perfectionism, but it's actually like an internal process. Because it's like, what makes sense for us? What is perfect to me? What are my expectations? And for a lot of us, if we're struggling with perfectionism, it actually is less about perfect and more about we never had good enough established for us in the first place.
So how do we go about exploring that, like figuring that out for ourselves?
I mean, the first thing is the idea of asking, what do I actually want? And then having the existential crisis that follows that, because we're like, oh, wait, it's not like what other people are asking of me. It's, oh, wait, it's what I want out of life. And people say, well, I do want perfection. You know, I do want this. I'm like, but do you?
Yeah.
You know, it's that idea of like in acceptance and commitment therapy, the idea of values. What do you actually value? Do you value perfection, or do you value connection with your family and friends?
Yeah.
You know, because you have plenty of friends in your life that you connect with that aren't the perfect friend.
That's great. Yeah.
And I'm a full disclosure, living, breathing hypocrite as we talk about all of this. But, you know, that idea of going from, you know, and this is something my therapist, so this is grand therapist therapy happening right now. My therapist told me that my antennas were facing out too much and I needed to tune some of mine in.
I love that.
And I think that's like that core perfectionism and where it leads to burnout is really about misalignment.
Yeah.
And putting energy into places like where we're not getting anything in return.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think sometimes we talk about on this podcast, but I talk about that we're always playing either an outside in or an inside out game. And it's that same idea. Like, am I getting my values, my validation, my all of this stuff? Is that actually important to me? Or is that something that was put on me by my parents or my education or society or like whatever, everything else, right? And then like starting to explore that can be so eye-opening and jarring, I think, to us. Like, wow, I actually don't give two hoots about that. Like, I know for me, I went to law school and it's like, I went to law school because it was 2008. The market was crashing. No one was hiring. I didn't know what else to do. So I'm like, there's no lawyers in my family. Like, no one talked me out of it. I was just like, I'll go to law school. Then I practiced law for the last 15 years. And it wasn't until the beginning of the pandemic where I was like, whoa, I'm like, I had never even asked myself, do I actually want to be doing this?
Yeah.
And then when you decide, it's like, okay, well, if so, how can I like even rethink that to show up in a way that is in alignment with my values? So it takes a lot of courage, I think, to ask ourselves that, because I think it flips a lot of things on its head.
1,000%. And so did you graduate undergrad in 08?
Yeah.
Okay. I did too. I think that our our age, particularly, so like mid-30s, I think we're a lot more subjected to this because of the survival mode that was ingrained in us at that point. You're just lucky if you do have a job. You're just lucky if you do this. Or, hey, if you pay your dues when you're 50, 45, 50, like, you will be set up. And then nobody delivered on that at all. But then we think we're the problem.
Oh, that's such a good point. Yeah. And things are just so different than they were, right? Like for the people that were speaking that into us, it was like, stay at the same job for 40 years, get your gold watch, retire, you know, live off your pension. And it's like, we can't do any of that stuff.
No, my dad has a golden clock. It is a golden clock. That thing, I told my dad when he died that I want it because like, it's, that's like a memory of like childhood. Yeah. And he's still the same job. He got that job right when I, around at the time that I was born.
Wow. So, yeah.
You know, 37, 38 years.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So about perfectionism and burnout, I think there are a lot of us who are running at such a speed that we don't even see the signs of either of those maybe coming. We know we're neat or whatever, like you said, having like a not the right perception of what perfectionism looks like in all of its forms. And then especially with burnout, especially as a mom or as a working mom, we're like, I'm just freaking exhausted all the time. But you know, that's just motherhood or like whatever. We just chuck it up. We make memes about it. We're like, maybe one day I'll feel like myself again. But talk to the people listening about what some of those signs are so that if they're experiencing them, they can like be like, oh, maybe I should pay attention to this.
The first thing I tell everybody is burnout is an issue of bandwidth, not a bad attitude. Okay. So we can be burned out by good things just as much as bad things in our life, positive or negative. So I tell people, like, when you look at your pie chart of life, the good and the bad, how much bandwidth is that taking up? And so if you have a lot of things, even if they are positive, that are taking up a lot of bandwidth and you don't have a lot of margin, then that is like a sign that you're operating in an unsustainable fashion.
Yeah.
It's like that idea of, yes, you get everything done, but when the kid throws up or when you get the phone call from your parents that they need somebody to take them to the doctor's appointment or the oil needs changed, how much does that throw you off? Yeah. If there's no room for emergencies to come into play, like that's a big sign.
Yeah.
Physically, I think this is like where it's hard because everybody processes like the information of life physically and mentally different ways, but the ongoing exhaustion, the numbness is a big one. Mm-hmm. Like if you're just apathetic, resigned, I always tell people, because even your most smiley person, your most positive person, if cynicism is creeping in and you hear a lot of like, what's the point? Or I have to me, it's like the inner language you'll hear is like, I have to, I should be, what else do I need to do? I don't care, but you're still operating. That to me is like a sign of like, hey, burnout's present. And then physically it's a lot like depression, you know, in the sense of, fatigue, your appetite might be off and both hunger and lack of hunger, you know, difficulty focusing, your body just doesn't feel, it just doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
But it's a different type of depression where it's like, if depression is the rock, it's like on a, like a quaky ground. You know, I just like threw that, like I pulled that out of like my butt.
Oh, that makes so much sense to me.
But like, if you feel like you're buzzing, but like you need to be doing something, but you literally can't, like that's at least what I've seen in my experience of burnout being like that. Because by the time we see it, we've been overriding it for so long.
Yes. Yes. And I feel it's like that tired, but wired feeling is what I feel like with that. Yeah. And I know for me, like, as I've grown in awareness of my somatic cues, like I have my tells. It's like a poker player or something. Like if my left eye starts twitching, like I've been ignoring the burnout for far too long. Or like there's, you know, the tension in your neck or your jaw or your shoulders or headaches or however it's showing up, are great indications. I've got a question for you. Do you sometimes feel like you're more sensitive than other people? Does the routine stress of life just feel overwhelming? Maybe sometimes you feel like you could just tap out or run and hide. Are you really creative? You got this great imagination. Or maybe you feel like you're disconnected from your body or like you're a misfit here on earth. You might have thought that's just how you are. All these things are just part of your personality, but they're actually coping mechanisms that you've picked up over the course of your life, and they're having a huge impact on how you show up, especially in this motherhood journey. Are you curious to know more? You've got to take my personality patterns quiz. Here's what's going on. When you were a child, whenever an experience overwhelmed your nervous system, you subconsciously built a defense against that overwhelm. Over time, those defenses became a habit, then they became a pattern. Now, as an adult, what we think of as our personality is often this defense pattern running the show. It's interesting, right? There are 5 personality patterns. They're not personality types like the Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs, but rather they describe the safety strategies that you immediately go to when you start to feel overwhelmed. They don't describe who you are, but rather what is blocking who you are. The good news is that once you take my quiz and learn about your pattern, you can learn skills to break out of that pattern and live and parent your kids as your true and authentic self. Click on the quiz link in the show notes or go to michellegrosser.com/quiz now to take my 2-minute personality pattern quiz.
I've been in the depths of burnout many times, but one in most particular was postpartum. And I remember my mom got me a book called Burnout. And this was before like I started doing any personal development work and any work in this space. And I was just kind of shocked that like someone could write a whole book about how to heal from burnout, because I had convinced myself that like I just need a 3-day weekend and like some new supplements and I'm gonna be fine. And like a whole book, like I have to like really like rethink this whole way of living. Like it's a lifestyle thing. And I think then that can drive more, like you're already resigned and then someone's like, here's a whole thing you have to turn around. It's like, oh gosh, like I don't have the bandwidth for anything, much less to redo my whole life. So talk to me a little bit about that. Like for people who are like, I know I'm there, but like, I can't even see or figure out where to start. What's a good way to approach that?
Not a lot of us have the privilege of doing this. And this is even like including myself, but we have to allow room, like where you said, the 3-day like weekend and all that. If we're really deep in our burnout, we have to have recoup time.
Yeah.
Like you have to recoup physically, mentally, you have to create the margin. And that process alone, like I can tell you, at least for me, to create margin took me 1 to 2 years.
Yeah.
And that is sort of like coming out of survival mode. And yes. I think like many things, if we're high achievers, we want to then really achieve recovering from burnout well.
Yeah, we want to do it perfectly, like we've been doing everything else.
And I think that's like, it's a slow burn.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's difficult to really dismantle the things that have driven us to burnout. And a lot of us can't necessarily make the big changes that we want to, either financially or family structure wise or societally. That's the tough part about this. And I think because this is now like common language for us, I think like in like, 10, I mean, depending on if the world's not like on fire, if we can like be like a little DeLulu for a second, in like 10 years, I think the idea of burnout prevention, and that's something I try to like really preach about, is like making like self-care more incorporated and like tangible and like frequent as opposed to extended breaks.
Yeah.
We need to take the PTO. But not just a week-long vacation. We need to take the PTO with a half day before your kid gets out of school, where you can go. If you want to just go watch The Real Housewives for 3 hours, go do it.
Yeah.
It's like that idea of like checking in instead of checking out. We're really good at checking out. Mm-hmm. And so that idea of creating margin first, letting yourself really assess like what is happening around you.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's not a fast rebuild. It's like you said, it's a redoing. So you have to undo to redo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wish if there was a quicker process, best believe I would have written that book and like, you know, been on the street corner, like letting people get the book for $10. But that's just not our process, because it's not just one thing that's burning us out.
Right. And that's more like wanting that quick fix is also more of the thinking that got us to burnout in the first place, right? Like it's still that survival mode. It's still that dysregulation talking, like, just give me more and give it to me faster and I'll just do it and I'll push through, when everything in our body is screaming to slow down and do the exact opposite, right? It's so interesting. You talked about self-care, which I feel like is another buzzword that gets thrown around. And I don't know if this is a good time to talk about your planner also, but I would love it if you could help us expand our understanding of self-care and our definition of self-care. And I'm so with you in this idea that like self-care is a lifestyle kind of thing. Like it sounds so cheesy, but like, it's a thing we should be incorporating every day. How am I caring for myself? So talk to us a little bit about that.
I feel like you already looked through the beginning part of the planner, because so the 9 to Kind planner has like, it's basically like a little mini burnout workbook in the beginning. You figure out like your bandwidth, your like burnout pie chart. And then there's sections dedicated to boring self-care and not boring self-care. Because in order for us to truly enjoy our not boring self-care, we do have to get some of the things that we avoid done.
Okay.
We often misuse, I am a queen procrastinator. And I'm like, oh, well, just one more episode of like Winter House. You know, I'm a Bravo addict. Like it's bad. Well, it's, you know, 2:15, so I can't work until 3. Like I play these games with myself. And so then my not boring self-care, whether it's the latte or sleeping in, or that never happens, but one can dream. All of the not boring self-care is then used as procrastination. So it doesn't really hit.
Yeah.
So the idea is balancing both of, okay, can I put my timer on for 5 minutes and just put away what laundry is possible in that time? And it's not rewarding yourself for the work that you've done. It's making margin to have more room to be able to actually be present when you're doing the not boring self-care, so that you're not then beating yourself up the whole time because you should have put the laundry away.
Okay. So this idea of boring and not boring self-care it's the first time I've heard of this. It's so interesting. So are these categories that you choose for yourself, like if you're working in the planner, or do you have these kind of categories? Like how does one figure out what their boring or not boring self-care tactics? So
in the back, there's examples of each season of not boring self-care that you could try out. Boring self-care, like in the winter, it makes sense for you. If you're in a city like where you commute, you probably need to go winterize your car. You probably need to get your tires checked. So those little things that often become emergencies, how can you incorporate that in? So there's a whole section listed of boring self-care. I also have a free boring self-care checklist. I need to get it up on my new website, but if you just find me on Instagram and DM me and say, hey, I want that boring self-care checklist. It literally is like 3 times a year you clean your air filter. I don't think that's the accurate one, but
yeah,
we just need like reminders. So it's the idea of tackling the small stuff. Yeah. And we all have our own lives, like our own things that we avoid. Like I have an empty basket of laundry, like an empty basket that's in my closet, because I never put my clothes back on the rack if I try them on. So they just go in the basket. And then my boring self-care is unloading the basket back into the closet.
Yeah.
So the idea, it's meant to be subjective, but it's the idea of what are the inconveniences and the major and minor inconveniences in your day? How can you chomp at that stuff bit by bit so that when you do the stuff that you like, whether that's a workout class, whether that is, you know, I think all of us are just suckers for like a really solid pedicure. Like, but you know, for some people, their not boring self-care might just be a hike, or it might just be sitting in silence.
Yes.
Or getting the air freshener for your car so that it doesn't smell like feet anymore because your kids play soccer. Like there, you get to create that, but there is inspo in the planner so that you have something to work with.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It's like those things that bring you joy, right? Some of those little things like that are really important. Mm-hmm. I think planners, it's just so interesting to me because so many of us who can identify with having perfectionistic tendencies or that will drive ourselves to burnout, we like are ride or die with our planners. Like I have, obviously I have my digital one and then I have my Bible planner right here that I just like run everything by, which is always full of checklists and tasks and to-dos and the things that can drive us to burnout. So tell me if this one, if this is structured differently or if you just approach it differently so it doesn't just become like something that's a hamster wheel that's, you know, perpetuating more of this burnout.
So it's laid out differently in that there are no goal setting pages.
Okay.
There are no goal setting pages. There is a habit tracker, but it's not labeled by day.
Okay.
And it's completely undated so that if you skip a week, that's okay. So like it's totally meant, it's structured, but also within, it's open-ended enough for you to put in what you need to put in. And in between each week, you have two blank pages for all of your notes. So it goes like weekly layout, blank pages, weekly. So your notebook and your planner are together.
Together.
So that your schedule, like that can be as the least messy or understandable as possible. And then all of your lists or meeting notes can go in between. And there's each week you write in, like, what are you going to avoid avoiding? How are you going to do self-care? How are you going to be kind to yourself? So there's reminders. We all know when we look at our to-do list, like what we need to do. Everything that you typically backburner is constantly a reminder in this planner.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of it because I looked for a long time for a planner that I liked. I get very annoyed with goal setting pages. Like, and that's no shade. We all need like a way to like structure our goals.
Yeah.
But especially as adults, our life is not linear.
Yeah.
You know, so if I'm tracking a habit, I just want to see how many times I do it, or I want to hold myself accountable, but in a kind way.
Yes. I love that. I actually like the planner that I use is really customizable. And last January, I was like so ambitious and I have like a goal one for every month. And then I even included pages for like planning out all my meals for the month. And then all my, like how I was going to organize cleaning different areas of my house.
Yes.
Guys, we're in like recording this in the middle of November. Every single one of those pages is empty. I have not used one. And it's so funny that you say that because I just ordered my planner for next year and it's laid out like you're saying. All I did was like the day, the weeks, and then blank pages because that's all I use. That's so practical that you've put that all together in one package. I love that.
Well, and if like there will be things that are coming out like over the next, you know, year or so, like where if you want to do meal planning, there's going to be like support in that. If you want to budget, there's going to be aspects around that. And for most of us, we do so much digitally that I'm a big believer in pen to paper, and there is something therapeutic about it. And so having it be, there is a digital version, but, you know, for this, I want it to be like where you write things down, like both the good and the bad, you know, what you appreciate about your day, but also like what you need to get done. It all needs to be able to coexist.
I love all of that. Okay. Let everyone know where they can find it and then where they can connect with you and find all of these things you've been talking about, even the digital planner and everything. I love it.
Website is ninetokind.com. So kind of like Dolly, like nine, you know, working 9 to 5, we're doing 9 to kind. On Instagram, it's 9.2.kind. And then my full name, Lauren Ruth Martin on Instagram, and everything is accessible from there. I could talk about this planner so much. And I know everybody's like planners, like their Stanley Cup, and I'm holding my Stanley Cup right now. Like it is a commitment. So I know it may not be for everyone, but at least following and seeing like the spirit of the planner, like that is extremely accessible. You know, through the content that's posted, through the podcast that I do with the brand and everything like that.
I love that. I'll link all of that for you guys. So it's easy to find. I even love the name 9 to kind. It's such a great like redirection of what are we actually doing here? How can we incorporate some compassion and self-care in all of this? Okay. Beautiful. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate
you.
If you love Mommy's Podcast, leave a review.
If you enjoyed this episode, It would be so awesome if you could take a moment to subscribe and rate the podcast. And if you have just a few more seconds to leave a quick review, they really help to get this podcast out to other moms like you. I read every last review, and trust me, when it's late at night or early in the morning before my kids get up and I'm working on bringing you all of this content, your reviews are what keep me going. Leaving a review is truly the best way you can thank me. And of course, DM me on Instagram. I love to hear from you. Thanks for listening to another episode. Head over to the show notes for this episode and all past episodes at michellegrosser.com, where you'll find free resources and more ways to connect with me. If you love the show, share it with a friend. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.